Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues. People that are important to you, two very important people are here today. Very important topic. And we've been actually doing a month-long series with the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management about National Preparedness Month. Deputy Director Kevin Madsen is here. Kevin, great to see you.
Good to see you again, Renee.
And Emergency Management Planner Sarah Fant is here. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, it's good to meet you.
Okay, don't be scared. Come closer. This is her first radio. I don't bite, Kevin. You told her I don't bite, right?
Oh, I may have not said that, so okay. I apologize.
Well, I believe you.
I'm so glad you could come in today. So let's talk about, really in general, National Preparedness Month. Obviously very important for everybody to be prepared for an emergency disaster, especially as we've seen in our area.
It is. It's a very important month to take the time and really be prepared. So we want to encourage everyone to take this time, and really not just September, but year-long, go through the process and being prepared for any type of hazard that may impact our area. We see on the news all the time across the U.S. where we're experiencing disasters at a very high scale. So we want to make sure that our community is prepared for these things when they may come up, whether it's another bomb cyclone, the storm that came in March of this past year, a wildfire that may occur, and we think back to Waldo and Black Forest, mm-hmm. or any other hazard that may be impacting our community, from those localized events like we saw the hail at the zoo last August, or flooding in July last year. So all those are very important that we're aware of.
Right. And that's why just kind of being prepared and getting ready for disasters is so important. And so let's specifically talk about emergency management, because yes, it happens at city, mm-hmm. county, state levels, right? But what does that entail exactly? So help people understand, because everybody, every department, every agency, every organization that is involved in that process, Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management, what goes into emergency management exactly on your guys' side?
It's a great question. I feel like we're constantly working on our 30-second elevator speech about what is emergency management. So really the best way that I like to convey it is that we talk about emergency management, and we're really kind of a central point for information. We work with a lot of our partners about building those relationships with our community organizations, from the American Red Cross, the fire departments, the police departments, really everyone involved in disaster services, and not just from the response side, but also recovery whenever we've had that event that's occurred and we're going the rebuilding, the recovering from those events. But I like to think of us as kind of the hub for coordination where we're working with those partners. We're also the hub for information and resources. So if we have an agency that has expended their resources, they can contact our office and say, okay, we have an event, we need help with X. Whether it could be additional fire resources or sheltering equipment, there's a number of things that we could help with supporting in that process. But then also information. What's one of the most important things is having that ability to know what's going on. Usually when we open our coordination center during events like we did in March and April this past year for the snowstorms, we had the National Weather Service actually sitting in the room with us.
With you.
And that was great because we had that connectivity for weather updates and information, but we also do that with our utility partners, our partners from other agencies as well. So we're really this hub of information coming through our community. And what that allows us the opportunity to do is then push that information out to our community members, our citizens, visitors in our community as well, on what's happening, but then what they can do to respond to what's happening.
And that's, I think, of course, looking at all of this and what you're just talking about is why it was decided between City of Colorado Springs and El Paso County, right, to join forces basically for emergency, like offices of emergency management, right, to develop the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. Just makes much more coordinated efforts.
It does. And I'll kind of hit Sarah hop in and give feedback on this as well. But really important to talk about with regionalization is it's a great effort that our local leadership on the city and the county level decided to look at. How can we work together to provide a more efficient response and better serve the citizens of our community? And one of the things we looked at was when we're operating two individual coordination centers, the city and the counties, or vice versa, one of the others being up and running, we may have to have two representatives from our partners at the American Red Cross, other agencies involved, Salvation Army, Humane Society, all of those have different roles there. So we're then spreading our resources thinner. But if we have a collaborative effort in one location, and we do that not just on operating during an emergency, but on a planning effort as well. When we conduct exercises, they are in sync with not just the city of Colorado Springs, El Paso County, but all of other municipalities and other districts within our community. So it's really a great way to keep everybody engaged and really on that uniform front. So we're really effective in what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we all know that disasters don't abide by geographical boundaries.
Can't go, hey, Mother Nature, don't go past this point.
Absolutely. Floods don't really care what your street is, whether you're in the city or county. And so when you took a look at the both offices of emergency management, and they were both doing such a good job independently and really working for the citizens of El Paso County as well as Colorado Springs, and then looking at our disasters, and historically they have affected both, and trying to just eliminate one point of redundancy within that system, I think is just going to make the whole system much more effective. And the exercises and the planning is a huge piece of that. Our most recent exercises have truly been regional in terms of the county and the city exercises. I mean, the evacuation drill we did in June was Manitou Springs, Crystal Park Volunteer Fire Department, Colorado Springs Fire Department, law enforcement agencies from the sheriff's office to CSPD, all the way up to state agencies as well. And so it was a really cool and unique opportunity for them to come together and work specifically on some things that, you know, normally they come together and they do their jobs and they do them really well, but to really sit and go through a process where they're talking with people that they don't normally talk to every day. That's what we're here for. That's why we do what we do.
Okay, you guys, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have so much more to talk about. We're talking with Kevin Mattson, Deputy Director, Sarah Fant, Emergency Manager, Management Planner with the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. More coming up next. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today from the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management, we're talking with Deputy Director Kevin Mattson. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, good morning, Renee.
And Emergency Management Planner Sarah Fant is here. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
So we were talking about what is emergency management, what different agencies do, and what happens during events and emergency situations, and how forming the regional office really was a brilliant thing to do. So everybody saves resources, better communications and stuff like that. But one thing we you know, kind of touched on it during the break though, Sarah, is sometimes we don't think about it unless you've really lived through a big, you know, natural disaster or emergency event or something like that. It can, and not to dive us way deep into this rabbit hole.
We'll go there. It's fine.
We're going, but it is a cascading effect, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, what one thing can start, it can just domino.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the same way that disasters do not abide by geographical boundaries, they don't abide by the categories that we place on them. To say that a flood is just going to only have the impact of a flood, so water, it's just not true. And I love that you use the term cascading effects, because that's really what it is. And we also like to use the term dominoes.
Yeah.
You know, one thing goes down and that impacts, has a ripple effect, you know, 7 degrees of separation, it's very quickly becomes a much larger problem.
Trickles out and becomes
the original.
Right.
Yeah, the original issue. Obviously we have our first responders that respond to the incident. They do life safety. They save lives, literally. They try to handle the incident and they try to address that single problem. And that's great until, you know, our resources are overwhelmed, and that just kind of starts the problem. You know, if you have a wildfire that, you know, impacts a large power area, you know, like a generator or something that takes down power to a large area, now you have transportation issues where lights are not, you know,
functioning,
working at intersections. You have potential power issues just to homes where people are all familiar with, oh, my refrigerator's out, I've got to eat all my food. Sometimes you can't get water depending on how you get water in the county. And those are all ones that we were very familiar with. But also stuff like during the bomb cyclone, we had a unique incident where we lost a data tower. So people didn't have power. They also didn't have, their cell phones were charged, and that was really great, but they couldn't get on the internet to check weather. They couldn't get on the internet to check, you know, anything related to the incident. So that's something that we don't normally think about is, okay, my house is out of power. Well, I've got my cell phone. Well, what if you don't have data? Then you don't have any access to anything outside of it. So what are your plans on that? And it just kind of goes from there. I don't know, Kevin, like, what other impacts can you look at?
Well, I think kind of along the same lines about limited resources, we look about what about fuel shortages, difficulty getting food to some of the grocery stores or restaurants. All of a sudden, we start seeing this impact community-wide. Even if it's a localized event or with the weather event, snow event, it was very impactful to the northern and the eastern part of the city and the county.
Yes.
depending on those situations, we see a widespread swath of people not being able to leave their homes, or if they have to go to work, they get trapped on the way home. There's a number of things that occur in that process. So we really want people to think through what are those cascading effects, as so eloquently mentioned earlier, that we want to look at from knowing that it's not just snow or not just bad weather, but okay, it's going to take much more time because the traffic lights aren't working and we're now using every intersection as a four-way stop. Now, I was trying to go to the grocery store to get dinner for tonight, because we live sometimes in that just-in-time purchasing for our resources, but now the grocery stores may have closed early because they need to get their employees home for the day. Mm-hmm. So all those
and
things,
now you can't go get groceries.
Exactly. Right, so all those things come into play there. So we want everyone to be aware of the think through that process and really think that whenever we have these events occurring, and sometimes we get heads up and we get a notice, sometimes we don't. And it's just one of those where if we're not prepared in that moment, we could be challenged to kind of get through that situation as well.
Yeah, and we also look at, when you're looking at power outages, you're also looking maybe at potential, especially if it's widespread, all the intersections. You know, we're all used to doing a four-way stop, and it's very annoying in traffic. It's completely snarled.
I think you're being generous.
Okay, that's fair.
Is she
it's
being
like
generous?
Ridiculous.
I think she might be, yeah,
but
generous.
But if you think about that across the entire city, I mean, traffic's going to be a complete headache.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yeah.
And then also, do you have access to your money? I mean,
if you can't get data,
you
like
you
said.
If you can't get data, if you can't get to
and that
ATM,
means, guess what? The data to the ATMs is...
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you are low on gas and driving home, how do you pay for fuel if all of a sudden there's nothing but cash available to
so
pay?
Who carries cash still? I mean, right. A lot of people do. I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people do. But it's not something that's as common as it used to be. And it's severely impacted by a lot of different disasters can impact a lot of different things.
Or if you're like me, I put that $20 in my visor for whenever I need that fuel situation. But you know what?
That's
on the way home,
idea.
I need a coffee, so
Starbucks.
I stop and use that $20. So trying to be really careful about not using that whenever you set it aside. Same thing when we plan at home, putting disaster supplies off to the side or preparing for those. It's very easy sometimes to delve into those resources. Mm-hmm. So we
don't
really
eat all your snacks.
We want to make sure we're very thoughtful in how we approach those things.
Well, and I love how you pointed out, like, when we are aware of the event, like, for let's bring up the bomb cyclone. We were aware. I mean, I give kudos to our team here, meteorologist team. They were on it to the minute of when it was going to move in. But sadly, some folks did not listen, right, to those warnings. And that's part of being prepared.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's circumstances. So some of those individuals that we had talked to and several of the people that may have got stranded in their vehicles had obligations, whether it was
work or
childcare.
I mean, we have so many commuters between Denver and here, Pueblo and here. Yeah.
So that's the challenging part also is having that conversation with an employer or a responsibility that you may have and say, okay, I know weather's coming in. Can we go in and make a plan or provision before that? But once again, that's only in those events that we know that are occurring. Sometimes whether it's a tornado or other events, they happen in a split second.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So we do have to take a news break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things that everybody can do to help prepare themselves, their families, you know, like don't use the $20 you have on the visor for those emergency gas funds. We will have more with Kevin Madsen, Sarah Fand, Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. It is National Preparedness Month, and we've teamed up with the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management to help get you and your families all prepared in case. Deputy Director Kevin Madsen is here. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Renee.
And Emergency Management Planner Sarah is here. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
And we were kind of talking about what happens on your guys' side as far as, you know, being prepared for, like, an emergency. What is emergency management? What all that entails? It's a lot. And we were kind of talking during the break before we hop into this other thing. It's kind of interesting. Like, we talked about the cascading effect, but of course, it's not going to cascade in the same way every time when there's a natural disaster or an event or something like that. And every time it can create interesting,
unique combinations.
Right.
Which is super fun for us.
Right. Because you really have to kind of go on the, I mean, you have the general idea, right, of what happens in this, but like, again, those combinations of what could happen can change the whole.
We have to be very flexible, and our critical thinking has to be definitely on point, because every disaster is going to present a unique set of problems. They're all going to be somewhat similar, but those extraneous and those extra things, they'll kick you if you're not watching for them.
Absolutely.
Well, I think to that same point, how rapidly the situation could deteriorate. So
right.
We've got a situation where we may have a winter storm that may be a prolonged event, but then we go a month or two later or even a year or two later, then all of a sudden we have a high impact storm that very rapidly breaks free. So the original event, someone may be like, oh, I have plenty of time to get out, run to the store, get home before it got really bad. But this next event, all of a sudden, within
it was
30
boom.
Minutes, you are completely bombarded by snow and ice. So all those things are important, especially like with fire as well. We look back at Waldo and how quickly some of the conditions changed on that.
And moved. Yeah, and it was like, get out. I mean, how many people did they have to evacuate in? 30-something thousand in a matter of minutes. So, yeah.
And one of our challenges is it's human nature to just go back to the last thing. And so when you go through an event, you're like, all right, I'm ready. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be ready. Because that's the event that you just went through. And so that's what you're thinking about as you walk into that next event. And it can be really challenging to shift some of that thinking and be like, it's not going to be the same event. Like, we did okay in this last event, but this is a brand new day. It's a brand new,
right.
new issue.
Yeah, and that same concept, if we haven't had a big event in a while. So, you know, unfortunately,
we can get lackadaisical.
In 2012 and 2013, we had two big fires in our community, but we haven't had that same magnitude. Unfortunately, we had the Carson Midway, the 117 fire, several fires last year, but they impacted different parts of the community. So some areas, some of our residents, especially newer to our community, haven't experienced that yet as well.
Right. So let's talk about, and again, we are talking all month long with you guys, and we've been doing a weekly a morning show series. If you want to hear about some of the things we've talked about actually getting prepared, you can go to listen to the podcast, KRDO.com, click on the radio tab, click on podcast. And of course, all of your guys' specialists have been coming in all month long talking about certain things we can do to get prepared. In fact, tomorrow from CSFD, Jeremy Taylor's coming in. He's a wildfire mitigation specialist, so he's going to kind of cover that. But what are some of the things that everyone can do to prepare themselves and get ready? Again, but let's just put the website out there right now so everybody knows, because that's a great place to start.
Yes. So the website we definitely want y'all to refer to is csready.gov, and that's where we have a lot of preparedness material, checklists, things you can do to help build a kit, make a plan, things that we've covered earlier in the month. But it's a great resource to refer back to, not just during preparedness month, but year round. And then also we have a lot of training programs being offered through our other website, which is the Pikes Peak Cert, and that is PPCert, so that's CERT.org. So I would refer to csready.gov and ppcert.org. And those are great opportunities where you look at how you can get training, but then also to get resources on checklists and really what to do. And I think one of the most important things to think of is don't try and do it all at once. Take your time, really put thought into the process. And it doesn't have to be a very complex approach. I think some of our EM team, we are a little bit on the excessive side when it comes to planning. I may be prepared for 60 days worth of food and everything else. If you have 3 days, 4 days worth of extra food at the house, and it may be
is
as simple
as... Is it generally like 72 hours-ish? Is that kind of the general recommendation?
Yeah, we kind of go with that. It really, it varies quite a bit. It depends on the situation. We based on 72 hours, that's been around for a while, but based on your comfort level, at least have... really 48 hours, 72 hours worth of food, like we see with the storms. So go back to March 13th and 14th. Both of those days were hazardous to be out on the roads. So really for 2 days, you shouldn't be out driving. So maybe on that third day, you could go and get additional groceries, more gas, whatever those resources are, but definitely have a supply for a number of days.
Yeah, and I think the concept is that you don't have to be a prepper level to be well prepared. Like I'm definitely not at that prepper level, but what we're looking for is kind of, you know, everybody can put an extra pair of socks, a hat, a coat, a winter blanket in your car. Like everybody can do that. Everybody can throw a couple bottles of water and a couple granola bars. That will get you through 90% of what you're going to deal with.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to winter driving. You know, at home, you know, have a couple boxes of stuff that you just don't touch. You know, those non-perishable items that you're just going to sit. Grab a couple cases of water every 6 months. Like everybody can do that. Grab a couple hand crank flashlights, a weather radio.
Oh, I was going to say hand crank. Radio.
Everybody can get those and put them in a little box in your garage or whatever. That will get you through 90% of those incidents. And that will be good. It'll be good. You don't have to go through and get, you know, subscription services or, you know, crazy
what you hear about.
Stuff.
You need to store 5 years of
We're definitely not asking people to do those things. And I think Sarah brought up a good point. Communications is always a critical part of disasters and really getting the information on what's happening, but then also what maybe from our coordination center we're recommending people to do. We're sitting here with the weather service and the storm's getting worse, or
like
it's getting
better.
Like
we did with the bomb cyclone. They
exactly.
were right there with you guys. So you could, yeah.
So then all of a sudden we can share that information with all of the community and say, hey, we're looking at conditions getting worse. Make sure if you're not home already, get home as quickly as possible. Or conditions are getting better, so if you're at home, you can have an expectation maybe in the next 12, 24 hours. Our partners in the media are wonderful about sharing those updates mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. So all that's great information there. I think the key thing, though, is really kind of having a good game plan. And a lot of that also talks about relationships. So talk to your neighbors, talk to your coworkers, friends and family. If for whatever reason we have a data center that goes out and you can't access information on your phone or the television's not working.
Can you go to your neighbor's house and...
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Or call a family member that may be in a different state and hey, can you log on to the internet or the news and see what's happening?
Yeah. And I think another thing that's simple that people don't think about, but is really, really important, especially when we're talking about an evacuation situation. Sometimes we're looking at a stay and like power through it situation. Sometimes you have to get out of the area, is to really just load all your important documents like on a flash drive. And that's all you need to do. Like just get them on a flash drive, get them on a keychain, update that every 6 months, put a reminder on your phone. And if people were to do that, take copies of their driver's licenses and their mortgage statements and their utility bills like on that flash drive, that would solve a good 70% of some of the issues we see when you have to leave your home in a hurry and you can't get back to pick up those important documents.
Well, and another thing that I mean, having been here, and you guys, I'm sure, have seen it as well, and being in media, and when there is a crisis or emergency going on and people can't contact or figure out where family members are, loved ones are, they start reaching out, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about communication is critical.
It is.
That you communicate with your family, everybody is part of this planning process, correct? If we cannot get a hold of each other, where do we meet? Who has the emergency contact information? Who do we call? Or, have a plan, but as a family.
And we get back to even the old fire evacuation plans that you had where yeah. you worked with your kids and you identified a place outside the home that you would go to.
Correct.
You know, you can even do that, and you can do that with people too, because often what we see with cell towers in an incident area is people try to contact somebody within that tower. And so it just becomes this swirling
circle.
Vortex
so
and nothing gets
somebody
through.
Out of the city
right.
or state.
Absolutely.
That
so identify.
Become, right?
Right, exactly. And those are great things. I think to that point as well, doing that plan with your family, then engaging neighbors or coworkers. Because I know one big thing we saw during some of the previous fires, we may do an evacuation during the workday, and all of a sudden you're at work, our children may be at school, you've got pets at home, family maybe.
How do you get them?
Exactly. So having that game plan, so you've got a process with, okay, I know a neighbor works from home, so maybe they can have an extra key and they can help take my pets. Or if you're like me, even if it's during the day and I've got a two-year-old and two dogs, and
yeah.
my wife and I are trying to scramble get out the door, there's no like 30-minute, I feel like every time we go anywhere, we're 3 hours late for everything. But that's considerations as well. If there's an evacuation order, let's go ahead and be early and proactive on it, because it may take us longer than others to get out the door as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think, like we've talked about communicating neighbors, but also having family planning. And
yes,
then
very much so.
Somebody possibly outside of the state. So if something does happen,
yeah, and this
everybody
is even,
try and contact that one person, right?
Yeah, and this is even more old school, is making sure you have phone numbers written down outside your phone. Because if you can't,
what's that?
I know, right? Like an address book?
When you say that, though, I literally am like, would I know? Like if I needed to contact my brother mm-hmm. who lives in northern
right.
Colorado, would I know his number if
no.
I can't? No.
I
Not
feel
many
like most
people
of us are in
would.
That boat.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you can't get to a charging to get your phone charged or whatever reason, or your phone dies because you don't charge it regularly, like a lot of people do, including myself.
We're all guilty. Raise your hands.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, do you have a place where you have your contact information, at least the most important ones written down, so
right.
you can contact them?
Well,
like other phones.
And here's the other thing. And if y'all can remember this, paper maps. I don't know if y'all recall those or not, but. Those are also great.
So, yeah. What is that?
Yeah,
love
what's
me
that?
Some paper
a paper
maps.
Map? Yeah, so those of us that are geographically challenged, that I use Garmin all the time for, if Garmin's not working
still
or we
use
not
using Garmin?
Well, the Garmin app. So
that was funny.
Actually, I've got my paper maps. I break them out and I have a Sharpie on there, so that's how
there
I get around.
Oh, that's
town.
Good. But that's a good idea. Have yes. maps in your vehicle or whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay, we do need to take a break. We'll have more when we come back on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio from the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. We're talking with Kevin Madsen, Sarah Fant. Thank you both for being here. And we were talking about this before. And like you said, we do have a very transitional community here with our military installations. And some of them, a lot of folks may have not been here during the fires. And the one thing we were talking about, first of all, travel was impossible on the interstate. I just want to put examples out there so people can kind of
connect.
Put the dots to what we're talking about. You could not go up and down the interstate. Pretty much from Denver to here, it was crazy. I would say, okay, Monument to here, it was pretty much standstill. You could not call. Mm-hmm. So we all had to start resorting to social media to try and communicate. And then, poor Facebook was not understanding what was going on and started shutting down some things, too, because it was like rapid fire because we were all trying to write and tell. Right. They thought it was spam. So, I mean, I'm putting that out there because so folks understand, like you were saying, how this cascades and then how the combo can just change everything. Right.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the key things I always tell people, if you want to think about a visual, imagine everybody on your streets getting in their car and leaving at the exact same time.
Right.
And do that for every street around you.
And everybody's very stressed.
Correct.
And like not happy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Panicked. Anxiety.
Right.
Fear.
So think about our normal day-to-day traffic mm-hmm. and then amplify that because of the anxiety and the stress and the potential hazard, whether it's a fire or winter weather, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to evacuate out, but we're all leaving at the same time.
And I want to add something. It's not the panic that's going to be like people are like yelling and screaming and like driving crazy. They've actually found in studies that during evacuations, there are less traffic accidents. But
because people are paying attention,
paying attention,
just trying to get out.
Yeah, it's less that like people are cutting you off and like screaming at you, and more that everybody's just going 5 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and everybody on your street is leaving at 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, and again, I just don't want to just reference Waldo, but that's one of the everybody had to get out of the Rock Rim and Mountain Shadows in same direction at one time, and thousands of people.
And it's a great example, and I think to Sarah's point also, when you're mm-hmm. going that 5 miles per hour and sitting in traffic for a long period of time. Think about your fuel levels. What if the day before you came home and parked and you've got an eighth of a tank of gas or almost on the E? When that occurs, all of a sudden, how do you get to the gas station? What if you're kind of gridlocked in that traffic pattern? So all those things are really important. So we always are prepared for those things if they unfold because we don't know when that evacuation order may come about.
Yeah. I just really wanted to put that out there again for those that, people have been through natural disasters all over the country, but I'm just trying to make it relevant here to put the pieces of what we're talking about together. Mm-hmm. Like that one day, that one event in matter of hours went from this to this, and communication was shut down, and travel was close to being on parts of town, and just everybody just be prepared.
Mm-hmm. And it's true, and it could be because of traffic issues. It could mm-hmm. also be because of the weather itself. So we think about flooding, roads may be closed. We think about the snowstorm. We had to call in snow cats from as far away as Leadville March storm. And that's the only way we could get resources in to get people that were stranded in the eastern part of the county.
To get them out.
So there's a lot of times where we are really reliant on external resources to get the needs we need for our community.
So everybody, okay, let's talk about resources again. Everybody can go find and start preparing. Let's give the websites. And if people want those more formal training, they are free, by the way. They're free trainings.
They are.
And which is fantastic. So first, let's talk about the website checklist, guides, helpful info to just help everybody be ready.
Yeah, so that website will be csready.gov. And so that'll be just your one-stop shop for all of your detailed checklist, just general guidance on how do you deal with different types of hazards, how do you deal with different types of impacts, how do you prepare to be in your car for a long time, how do you prepare to evacuate, all those things. It can be very overwhelming, but just pick a checklist, pick something that you're like, I know I got nothing in my car, so I'm just going to focus on my car this week or this month.
Great idea.
Whatever.
Yeah, this way I'm just going to do the car.
Just build it.
Take it over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And know that, and I think at the end of the day, we are really, this helps you, this helps us, significantly helps first responders and the emergency management
responding
community.
Absolutely.
If we know that, even 30 to 40% of our population are able to get themselves safe without accessing that 911 system, that's 30 to 40% people that can then be helped by, you know, who are in life safety situations.
Absolutely.
So. And to the point earlier about traffic, when we have traffic issues or accessibility issues on the roadways, that impacts response vehicles. So ambulances, fire trucks, everything else on that side.
Can't move.
And I think it's great. And in those checklists also, there's good information on special needs. Mm. So do you have pets? Do you have children? Do you have anyone that may require a little bit of time or effort going through that process?
A disability.
Exactly.
Yeah, a senior citizen that, or a family member that needs help.
Yeah. Right. Or do you not have access to a vehicle? Do you have a plan to either work with a friend or family or use public transit? So all those access and functional needs are in there as well.
And really quick, we do have to wrap up, you guys, but go check out the list of free preparedness training classes that are being offered this fall. This is at PPCERT, that's CERT.org. So much to talk about. Hey, and really quick, I got to tease again that Jeremy Taylor, wildfire mitigation specialist, will join us tomorrow morning, 7:35 a.m. That's tomorrow. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, no, you're Renee. Awesome, Renee. Thank you so much. Thank and Jeremy's you. Great. I hope everyone listens to Jeremy talk tomorrow. Good resource. They've got a great program there.
Absolutely. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, District Wildlife Manager Corey Adler from Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be here. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.